You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Man,
the Dable thing yesterday, and then who was it from Aston? Jeff from Aston,
yeah.
It's been it. Am I going to make it through Friday?
Yeah.
Make it through Friday?
Well, we got to get you to April, too, just like Joel. Yeah.
Yes. Elliot Shore Parks is here. Tuesdays with Elliot. Every Tuesday at 3, he joins us for an hour. It's brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Before we get to the Eagles, any thoughts on Joel not playing?
Well,
Paul George, we all knew wasn't going to play, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been enjoying Clap Your Hands Radio. It sounds good. I enjoy the Sixers talk, so it was good. I agree. The messaging on this is really bad. And in some ways, it is why everybody is so mad. If they announced this a month ago, I think there would have been backlash, but it wouldn't have been as intense as this. But where maybe I disagree from you, Spike, it seems, and maybe the general public is, I think we're getting wrapped up too much in the messaging. That is a mistake, but it's not the story. The story is Joel is not healthy enough to play in the opener, point blank. And they gave this guy a 3-year, $190 million extension this offseason. And in 2 years, what's it going to be like if this is what it's like now? So it's disappointing he's not playing, but for me, I just think he's closer to cooked than people want to admit.
Cooked?
You're on drugs.
Cooked?
He can't play in the opener.
This is going to be awesome.
He didn't look great last year. Like,
he didn't look great last year. He scored more points than he played minutes last year. And if he had played the commensurate number of games, he would have been MVP last year, too.
But they lost in the first round again. And I know you'll say it's not his fault, but didn't get out of the first round. He clearly looked physically diminished, in my opinion. You're right. He was good last year. I shouldn't have said that. But he looked physically worse than he has in the past last year. He's not healthy enough to play in the opener. Didn't look great in the Olympics. What do we think this is going to be like a year from now?
How do I know what it's going to be like?
We know what it's going to be like. It's going to be worse. His body's not going to get better. So
his body could get better. There are plenty.
Come on, man.
No.
You think a year from now he will be in better physical shape than he is now?
There are plenty of NBA players, as they hit 30, understand that their physical being is more important and they have to manage it. There's a guy on this team, Kyle Lowry, didn't lose weight until he was after 30 years old. Look at DeMar DeRozan. There are a lot of players who, when they hit 30, start taking their health seriously.
Kyle Lowry is not a 7'2", 300-pound center.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So I just think we have to look at this honestly with Joel. Like, he is much, much closer to him being cooked than he is being the same player that can carry them to a title. Like, if they win the title this year, it will be because of Tyrese Maxey. It won't be because of Joel. Maxey will have to carry them through the regular season. And when the playoffs come, it'll have to be Maxey then, too. Joel's my second favorite Sixer. It brings me no joy to say this, but it's just the reality.
Like,
we always do this thing with
Name
Joel where it's like, well, maybe he's actually healthier than we think.
Name one other player who played at the level that Joel Embiid played at last year,
right?
Who people said he's cooked the next year.
I'm saying Joel is closer to being cooked than anybody wants to admit. A year from now, you really think he'll be in better shape?
I'll bet you $10,000 he's not cooked in a year.
I don't want to bet $10,000.
Okay, I don't know what to bet. There's no chance. His game will be fine. He can shoot. He's 7 feet tall.
He can't even play in the opener in the season.
Who cares if he can play in the opener?
I care. He's the best. He's supposed to be the best player on the team. He's signed for 5 years, and he can't play in the opener? How is this not a major red flag to you? He is not healthy enough to play in the opener. Otherwise, he would play. Do you agree with that?
No, I agree that if it were a game he needed to play in, he would play tomorrow.
So that's what he is at this point in his career. Like, he's under that is what he is. Otherwise, he would play. It's a season opener, the home opener, a primetime game against a team that you're supposed to be competing for a title for. And they still can't put him in. That is how far away he is from playing. Otherwise, he would play.
No, but wait a minute, Elliot. how far away he is from playing. He's going to play when he can. There's always a last game that you don't play before you play. We don't know how far away he is. He could play next week.
The season was 5 months ago. The Olympics was a month ago, and he still can't play.
Yes.
So you think they're just holding him out?
No.
Okay, then he's hurt. That's the point I'm making.
No, you're wrong on almost all of these things.
I'm curious to hear how.
Well, because what they want to do is make sure that he is, and this is an error they've made every year. They bring him back from injury too soon. They play him in too many back-to-backs, all of those things, and it puts him in a worse position. What they are saying this year is we are not playing him until he is in the best possible
condition. And if this was a Tuesday night game against Charlotte, I would agree with you. But it's the season opener.
And it counts the exact same as every other
game. No, it doesn't count the same. We all know. Look, you think that this would be the outrage if it was a Tuesday?
How about this?
You think they wanted
the PR
hit? Who did
they open against last year?
The Celtics.
And what happened?
They lost.
Okay. And what difference did it make in the rest of the
year?
Right,
but you're the one that's brought up messaging a bunch. We're not talking about the implications for the season or their win-loss
record.
That's
what I'm talking about.
No, but what I'm saying is
the messaging was
an error. The fact that they knew it was going to be a major PR hit and they're still not playing him speaks to how unhealthy he is right now. And frankly, how I think
you have no information on how healthy or unhealthy.
Then why isn't he playing?
Because they don't feel like he's ready to play.
Because he is hurt.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. So let me ask you this, Spike. You don't think he's injured at all. You just think it's just a ramp up.
I think they're just not playing him for fun.
No. He's basically saying getting him in shape and getting him basketball conditioning wise is different than being injured.
I understand,
or coming back from an injury.
I understand that, but this isn't a month into the season. It's not 6 weeks into the season. They've had all offseason to get him ready for this. He played in the Olympics, which we all thought was going to be a good thing, and I did at the time too. But if he still can't play in the opener, how is that not a red flag
because
for where his body is at?
Because the goal is not the opener.
The goal is the playoffs. I agree with
that. The opener does not count more than any other game. It counts the same.
It counts more to fans, number one. It just does.
Especially if you're opening up at home.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Elliot. Should they play him just to make the fans happy?
No, they shouldn't.
Okay, well then what are we talking about?
Because I think people are just looking over the fact that it's not about messaging. It's not about the playoffs. It's about that he can't play. He can't play. If he was fully healthy, he would
choosing.
Be playing.
No, there is an enormous difference. You're using the wrong verbiage, and I don't know if you're doing it on purpose or not.
He does everything on purpose.
I'm curious what verbiage is wrong.
Well, you're saying he can't play. That's not true. He plays basketball every day.
So
he could play.
Let me ask you this then, Spike. Why wouldn't they start the ramp-up process early enough for him to be ready for opening night?
Because they only get the guy, first of all, he was in there, and they either can get him ready for opening night or they can't. I think their goal is not get him ready by a certain time. Mm-hmm. Their goal is get him ready for when he's ready.
Okay.
And not make a decision. It's just like playing poker. If you make a decision to go all in on a poker hand because you've decided it's time rather than it's the right hand, you're going to lose. And that's why good poker players sit there and they fold 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 until they get the right hand.
Right.
They're waiting until he's as ready as they've determined they need him to be.
So, all right, if you want to say I'm using the wrong verbiage on he can't play,
yes,
I'll agree with you there. If this was game 7 or game 1 of the playoffs, he'd be playing tonight. I agree with you on that. What I'm saying is it's a concern to me that 5 or 6 months after the season ended and a week after the Olympics, it's still at a point where if they had to play today, he wouldn't be 100%. And so my concern is for a guy that they just gave a 3-year extension to that's supposed to be the reason they win the title, his knees are clearly in bad shape. Like, I don't know how else to put that. He is a big guy that misses games all the time because of his legs. He can't play in the opener because of his legs. And you're right. Maybe it is they're just holding him out. But how often during Embiid's injury time has been, like, the rosy side of things? What happens? It's never what happens.
Right. But how often have they played it this way? Never. Never have they played it this way.
But the old Embiid
would have played tomorrow.
But you're painting it as if it's like, no, he could play, but let's just be extra cautious.
Yes.
Right.
But I think that's the way you're choosing to view it. That might not be the reality.
He's saying that's not what it believes it is.
Like, I think that he is not healthy enough that he can play in the home opener. You're right that it was a playoff game or if it was a big game, you're right. He could probably go out there and force his way through it and try to play. But it's concerning to me that in the beginning of the season, we're already dealing with this.
Because the point is not the beginning of the season.
But he's going to play this year, right?
The end.
But he's going to play this year.
Yes.
And he'll probably play in a week. Would you agree with that?
I have no idea.
Let's say he plays within the first three weeks.
Hold on. If he's not playing within the first week of the season, then people are going to think he's injured.
Sure.
And, yeah, but so, I mean, but, he may not be, but
so what really
they
changes
make
it,
decisions based on what people think. They've done it too many times.
I agree with you on that. I'm not talking about messaging more. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about his body does not seem like it is in a good place right now, is my read on this.
Of course not.
So that's my concern, that you're right. The messaging is bad. It's probably smart to sit him out. But the fact that we're already talking about load management with this guy in the home/season opener, this is not 2 weeks into the season. This isn't a back-to-back. This isn't a meaningless game. It's the start of the year, and he still can't play.
And to be fair, there's nothing wrong with playing in tomorrow's game and then taking off the next two
Correct.
Or three or four games.
If he played
sure
tomorrow, no, if he played
there's
tomorrow,
nothing wrong with that.
Sure, there is.
If
what?
He played tomorrow but then sat the next three, I'd be cool with that.
Like, that
but the reality is,
well, then what difference would it make?
Because he's not ready to play.
Well,
that's the concern.
I'm just asking, how is sitting out the first three and then playing game four? What difference is that?
Because he hasn't scrimmaged yet.
Okay.
Why hasn't he scrimmaged?
Elliot, they have markers where every time he hits a marker, they progress to the next thing.
I get that.
So
right.
they have, well, obviously you don't
no, no,
get
I do,
it.
Because let me ask you this. If there was a playoff game tonight, they just skip all those markers and play him, is what
you're
saying.
If there was a playoff game, yes.
Right. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. That if he had to play tonight, it would not be because he's ready to play. It would be because he is just forcing himself to play. I don't like the fact that the beginning of the season, for him to take the court, they have to skip steps.
All you're doing is this I'm so concerned thing. There's no actionable result to what you are saying.
You're right.
We all know Joel Embiid has a bad knee and
Correct.
Has. We all know he broke his foot twice. We all know all of these things.
Yeah.
And we all know you had to give him the contract.
But okay.
So you did.
So but nobody tells me it's a good idea to give him the contract. It's just that you had to give him the contract, right? Like I understand
Again,
what you're saying.
You are playing semantic games. If you were the general manager, you would give him the contract.
Because I'd feel pressured to do it. You're right. But do you think it was a smart team building decision? The thing you use for Saquon, right? Where it's like, if the Cowboys gave Saquon that deal, we would all look and go, oh, you don't pay running backs that. You think if the Knicks or some other team gave Joel Embiid a contract extension 3 years out, we would sit here and go, oh, that's a smart move.
No, but it doesn't.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
There's no smart or not smart. There is that you give your best player, who is a franchise player, who is one of the top five players in the league, you give him the
extension.
But
whether they had to do it or not, that's not what we're debating. I agree you had to do it.
Okay, but then there's not a conversation.
Right, but I feel like you're doing this thing where it's like, well, the messaging's the bad thing. Well, they had to give him the contract. I agree with you on that. But what we're masking over is that this guy is clearly breaking down and is much closer to completely broken down than we want to admit.
That's the part where you have literally no information.
I agree. I'm tea leaf reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
What tea leaf tells you he's at the end of his career?
That, A, he can't play in the home opener.
Oh, my God. The home opener is one regular.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
He's had 5 months to get ready for this game.
Okay.
Has he not? He's had 5 months to get ready for this game.
Time out. I just want to bring in others.
Okay.
Bring us in. Bring us in. You two, go to your corner.
So now I know how it felt to listen to the Dable and Sirianni thing.
Listen, that's why we're co-host here, and he's been in this position where he has to break us up. This is what you do all with people every once in a while. I just want to bring everybody else in. That's all.
I'm sorry.
You know he's not changing.
You're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Neither one
you're
of
right.
you are changing.
Thank
Look,
you.
This is why I love doing clap your hands.
Yeah. If you promote that stupid podcast one more time,
available on all podcast platforms. Yeah. Odyssey Podcast.
Oh, I didn't know you were still over there.
Well, this is good.
Yeah.
Uncovering the Birds, also an Odyssey podcast.
All right.
Do we
want to talk about the Eagles here? Or do we want to talk about
it? No, forget about the Eagles. We're rolling here. Just
they won some
rolling.
Dumb game on Sunday.
Sirianni proved everybody wrong.
He's the best, dude.
Well, are the callers, are they actually in the priority that you think it is, or who should I take that you think is
the most
appropriate?
I think they're in the priority.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Just skip over Sixer season. Gary and Violent.
Right, they're just WIP. Sitting there. He's healthy. It's fine.
What's up, Gary?
Tea leafing, that is such a fall linen pants kind of thing.
Yeah, true. Hey, it would be a good day for the suit today. It's like 85.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be. Except that it's after Labor Day.
Yeah, well, that won't change.
Yeah.
Will Joel be speaking tonight?
Will Joel be speaking? I have no idea. Probably not.
Do you think, because will he bring his kids up, just take the heat off?
Yeah.
There we go, yes.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I was totally for him playing in the Olympics, and I have the same take as you do, Spike. Like, he's going to get hurt walking to get his mail in the morning. Like, just let him play.
So can I ask you something, Gary, quickly? Because I was thank you, I appreciate that. I was also on team he should play in the Olympics. I thought it was smart. I thought he probably learned stuff from it. Although, at 30 years old, like, we're talking about him like he's a second-year player learning how to win. But regardless, does this change your opinion? Like, I think we should be allowed to change our opinion based off what's happening.
Well, based on what information leads you to believe that playing in the Olympics delayed his return to the Sixers?
Do you think it helped or hurt?
No, but here's the thing. You can guess, or you can say to yourself, hey, here's what happened. Do you know anything about whether he was hurt or whether he was set back playing in the Olympics or not?
So this is why I asked Gary what he thought.
So my hope was that he would play through the summer and his body would maybe get stronger, and that was an epic fail. But no, he just needs to play, and I just accepted Joel when he's on the court. He's awesome, and the rest is what happens. Hopefully he'll be there in June.
Yeah,
that's where I mean. Overall,
we can agree on that.
Yes.
Like, you just have to hope that when the playoffs come, his body cooperates.
And my thing is, and appreciate it, Gary.
Thank you for the
My thing is, I agree with the formula the Sixers are trying to use to try to get him beat to the postseason healthy. I completely agree with that, but I also understand where some people may be thinking. Well, if you're telling me he's not injured, then they certainly are proceeding as if they're trying to slow walk this thing versus, like, in other words, like scrimmaging. Like, he's not on the court. He's not doing. I don't understand that part of it. Like, if he's completely healthy, why wouldn't he be able to do some basketball things already?
Because I think what they want to do is strengthen him in a way that they have not done it before, and they are not taking timing for an answer.
Okay.
Like, look.
Okay, it's a new process for everybody.
End of the day, if you were to ask me, do you think he will be healthy in the playoffs or not? You made me bet.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet no.
Yeah.
But I would still.
Can you say you would bet no?
Sure. But if it's but nothing about winning a championship as an NBA team is a better yes than no proposition. You know, the Boston Celtics are by far the favorites to win the title this year. They're not even close to a 50-50 chance to win the title this year. So really, what I keep coming back to with this is there is not a better option. This is the best option.
But it sounds like we maybe agree then, because I do
of
think this
is. Of course we agree. Y'all just arguing over, because you got to have it your way.
No,
it's got to be seen that
way. I think Spike is diminishing. It's like saying, I have a car that doesn't run that well, so I don't always drive it. And so that's the best way to use a car. Doesn't change the fact that the car is breaking down and, like, close to broken.
Yeah, but
and
you're doing this whole, I'm just noticing this.
That was all right. That was a
Thank
good
you.
Analogy there.
Yeah, but if it's
Took
your
me 16 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah,
but if
good.
It's your only way to get to work, It is what it is.
I agree, but
take
it's not
public transportation, Elliot.
I do take the sub now, actually.
You're a subwaysman?
Yeah. Well, I'm signing up for boxing classes.
Wow.
So.
Boxing classes.
What's that going to do?
Get ready. Keep making fun of the linen suit.
Boy, that was so terrifying.
We'll find out. Yeah.
Get ready.
Yeah, I hope no one in the class recognizes
me. What do you call the one that runs on Market Street?
Can we hold on?
The L?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, come on, bro.
You're a suburbs guy.
Everyone shut up. Shut up for a second. Can we get Tucker Bagley to the Elliot boxing sessions?
No. Please, no. Oh, yeah. But to your thing, to the last point about the car.
Yeah,
okay. You are right. It might be it is what it is. But that doesn't mean I have to sit here and go like, oh, it's all good. Like they're resting them. And
but no one thinks it's all good.
It just sounds like you think it's
no,
all good.
No, I think this is the best option to do it. And we've done it every other way and it hasn't worked. I am not arguing it.
He was just telling you that he's not injured.
Yeah, I don't think he's re-injured it. I think he is still battling back from the surgery. And by the way, he did re-injure it before the playoffs last year, which is why he looked fine when he came back. And then he twisted it, I think, against Orlando. And he was clearly hurt during the playoffs. I don't think it is a likely scenario. Like if I'm just basing it on percentages, I think there is a better percentage that it doesn't work out than it does work out. All of that said, I think this is the best way to do it. That's all. And I is it good news that you have a 7 foot, 270-pound guy with a knee problem? No.
Yeah.
But still, if you have that guy, you ride that guy until you can't anymore. And that is the position that they're in.
Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah. It feels.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
it just feels close.
I'm going to ride the Embiider.
Yeah.
Well, you have been since 2 o'clock. But, like, it feels closer to the end for me than maybe it does for you.
I think that's where you kind of.
You know what I mean?
You put a damper on it. First of all, and you came in and said he was cooked.
I think he's closer to cooked than we want to admit. I don't know what to tell you. Like we saw. Like,
well, he's cooked coming off of the year.
Well, I didn't say he is cooked. I said he was close
to cooked. Okay, so what's the number? How cooked? How close?
So if one is Andrew Bynum of cooked?
Like, no,
and
I'm saying
he's normal Joel.
How many years do
I think
have?
In a year and a half, 2 years, it'll probably be one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Oh, no chance.
Okay.
Yeah, I disagree.
Well, I hope in 2 years we can debate it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be here.
Yeah.
We'll
be. Well, you promised 10, I guess, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, all right.
Well, nine left.
Well, where was I on that, too?
What's that?
Well, how many years did I promise?
I don't know. Promise?
Well, you're here for the rest of your life, man.
Yeah.
Running the station in 10
I wasn't
years.
Consulted on the 10-year contract.
Running the station?
Yeah.
The guy could barely send emails.
Hold on. Every day around 9:30-ish.
Yeah, and it's all lowercase. You write it like a fourth grader.
Well, I put my own personal touch on it.
And even despite to be critiquing your emails,
I know.
Well, you
the program.
You know, you get me. You back me into a corner.
Yeah,
Andy.
You're doing
great
today, honey.
Andy in Westchester. You're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Can we just keep changing our focus to Jack? Because I'm afraid right now.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know enough about you, so well, you're safe.
I was going to argue with you, but man, whatever you think, it's cool. Yeah.
No, Jack writes bad emails, but he has a lot of good skills, too.
He's not writing. Well,
we're waiting for them.
I'm listening to the Jeff call. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to get on after this. Well, Elliot's coming. Oh, now it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. Yeah.
What do you think, Andy?
So, anyway, yeah, I want to get to something else about Insider of the Year since Elliot's there. But anyway, I think what a lot of people, at least me, are wondering, and I know you're saying you don't know that he's injured. I don't know that he's not. But if he wasn't fully recovered from his first injury, why was he playing in the playoffs? Olympics is my concern.
Because he decided and they decided there were more positives than negatives. And I guess what I would say as a I understand the concern about the Olympics. I went back and forth on it, too. He came to camp much lighter than he has ever come to camp before. So, you know, I think one of the things the organization thought was, well, the other way hasn't worked. And he has come in heavy every year. And maybe him playing basketball, which is, by the way, how he gets into shape in general anyway. He's one of those guys that they thought that the positives outweighed the negatives. And I still believe the positives. And you can do the, it's a lot like the fourth down call thing. You can do the, after you see whether it worked or not, decide whether it was the right decision. But they don't have the luxury of waiting to see what was going to happen. I thought that experience was positive for him. And I thought, and this is the first year that we've heard him coming into a year say, here's what's important. Here's the weight I've lost. I need to lose more. He would always do, he would dodge those questions mm-hmm. before, and he's not dodging them now. But I don't know if it's going to work. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But it, I think his head is in a better place than it was. And I do credit some of that to playing in the Olympics.
Makes perfect sense. You're right.
There we go.
205 white beers. I don't want to scare people. Thank you.
So back to the car.
Mine's harmless, man.
Yeah, I am mostly harmless.
So, but here's what I'd say about the Olympics thing is it's not like he got re-hurt at the Olympics. It's not like he played and ended up leaving halfway through. Mm-hmm. So
like Kawhi.
Right. So
he didn't even
well,
make it.
I agree it is definitely Monday morning quarterbacking to sit here now and go, oh, he shouldn't have played. I do agree with that. But we can also, like the fourth down decisions, look and go, well, it didn't work. Well, I don't know if I would still paint the Olympics as a positive.
I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it didn't work. And I think one thing that it could have done is he probably needed to take time off after the Olympics to let everything settle down before he ramped up again. And that's probably why they're in the situation now. If you would ask me, would you trade a week of the regular season for the Olympics? I would say yes. I would. If he didn't get injured there and all it did was delay him starting the season, then I'm fine with that.
So one last question for you, if you don't. I know that all the games count the same, 382, but you truly don't think there's more emphasis on the opener?
No. And I think that's every mistake they've made leading
right,
up to it.
Fair enough.
I can understand the feel for it, but in 2 weeks, we're not going to care.
Well,
he'll either be playing well or he won't be playing.
You're true.
You know.
You're right.
All right. Coming up next, maybe we'll talk about the Eagles. I don't know. But I think we're going to talk about the Eagles.
Yeah.
Also, Mets fans want to throw a parade for the Mets.
Elliot agrees.
Yeah, well.
I wanted a parade for Joel's MVP trophy. Oh. No one cared about you.
He did.
And honestly, I even want it more now that I know he's...
All right, enough out of you. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.